But this fellow that we have on is a good friend of the show, and he's a Bay Area guy as well, and that is Rich Walls. He was the voice, along with Buck Martinez, of the WBC on in the MLB Network from the Asian sector, so to speak. He's back in the U.S. and heading probably down to the Marlins camp pretty soon. He's the voice on TV with the Miami Marlins. Rich, nice to have you with us. It's a pleasure to get you on the show today.
Hi, Marty. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm doing well, and I'm here in beautiful Peoria looking out at the field, and I'm just glad that you're back. And this WBC thing is, Rich, I think it's taken off even bigger maybe than what baseball thought it was going to be. And you were there for the beginning of it with the Team Israel story, Bam Bam Yulin's with the Netherlands. Japan is now here in L.A. with the Netherlands. I don't know, for you, it must have been a big thrill just to be part of it.
It was. It was. We were in Tokyo for 2 weeks and saw a lot of great baseball. For me, it was the third. This is the third World Baseball Classic, and my perspective is a little different than a lot of folks because the perspective of Major League fans is focused on the U.S. team and games in the United States. And of all the three that I've done, I've never done a game on in the continental U.S. I was 09. I was there to watch the Netherlands take down the Dominican, not once but twice, and that was before the Netherlands was any good. Really, there was no Profar or Bogarts or Simmons or Scope on that team. And then in 13, I was over in Tokyo again and saw Hensley and the Netherlands beat Cuba in what was an epic game, which had a lot of consequences. Most of them bad for the Cuban team. There were probably four or five players on that team that had they been able to get to the United States, and San Francisco was the championship site in 13. There were four or five guys on that Cuban team that were going to bolt and leave. And so when they lost that game in walk-off fashion, they didn't just lose the game. For a little bit, they lost their freedom. But most of those guys, the Jose Abreus and the Yasmani Tomases and the Gurriels and those guys have already left and been able to escape and get to the United States. So, yeah, it's a totally different perspective outside, and it's nice to see that fans in the United States are starting to support the games, follow the games, and get caught up as much as I've seen other nations, other continents really get into it. The crowds in Miami were terrific.
That's where I was going with you. Go ahead.
Every time Japan played over there in the Tokyo Dome, and in 13 they were in Fukuoka and in Tokyo, it's 40,000 plus in a ballpark that holds about that. And the atmosphere is unlike anything I've ever really experienced. The noise, the songs, the chants, all the energy in those buildings. So It's a huge deal in Japan, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Dominican. So it's fun to see the U.S. fans get excited about it.
Rich Walls is with us, the voice, as he has did a great job with Buck Martinez in Japan, covering the WBC, does the TV work for the Marlins as well. I was going to ask you about the reaction in Miami, because, look, you've been there from the beginning of the stadium and, of course, in the old stadium as well. But the place went just bonkers for that Dominican Republic team. Do you think that says something a little bit about the people who could be coming out to the ballpark in Miami? Were you impressed by it?
Yeah, look, Miami has always had challenges for one reason or another, and engaging the fan base has been one of those. But the beautiful thing about Miami is it's just such a melting pot for all of South America and a good deal of New England and New York, actually, too. That's the perfect spot for that, those teams, probably more so even than San Diego, although they did have a nice crowd the other night. But you've got, the Dominican, Puerto Rico down there. Colombia was there as well. And Venezuela, finding the right spot for these games is a little bit tricky, I think, in the United States because you want to have the games close enough where fan bases either live or can travel to. That's one of the challenges of Japan. I remember talking about the crowd of a, I want to say it was Cuba, Australia, or a game like that, saying, and equating it to like bowl teams, you know, how, well, Nebraska travels well, or Oregon State doesn't travel well, and I started down that road saying it's tough for Australia to travel to Japan, and I said, and Cuba doesn't travel well because, well, there's, I better not go down that road. So, no. You know, finding the right spot is important. And San Diego is an interesting place, and Dodger Stadium is a good place. San Francisco is a perfect place, I think, too, especially, you know, with Japan coming to town. And you know, the Netherlands is a fun team, and you've got that Giants influence with Hensley on it, who's it's really fun to watch him manage because he's able to sit next to, as he says, sit next to Bruce Bochy. And he said there are times in an inning where the Giants are up and Boch will turn, Hensley will go to get something to drink or step away, and Bruce will look at him and say, where are you going? And so, you know, in his 7 years there, he's picked up an awful lot, and it's really fun to spend time with him and listen to his thoughts on managing and the way he manages that Netherlands team.
Rich Waltz with us. Rich, it's so nice to have you with us. Well, they hit the gold mine in Miami, I will tell you that. I was... with the AAA
Marlins. Hey, it's Paulie Mack here for Ceremony Ford with way to buy...
Whoop, there we go. Yeah, thank you, Matt Leland. live radio. But they hit the gold mine with that. All right, let's talk a little bit, because Japan is coming. They don't make many mistakes. Outstanding players. Who should we look for on the Japanese team that's coming to L.A.?
You know, they're a fun team to watch. They don't have that really, you know, sexy name. Ichiro's not playing. They don't have the Maeda or the Tanaka at the top of the rotation. But the Japan hitters, from the 4 years when I saw them, and it's essentially Japan's all-star team. These are the best players from the NPB, Nippon Professional Baseball. So it's essentially an all-star team. The leadoff guy, Tetsuro Yamada. The Japanese hitters have changed, Marty. When I was there in 13 and saw them a lot, spent almost 3 weeks there, a lot of the hitters were still inside-out guys, flipping balls to the opposite field, and there were only a couple of right-handed guys that were, you know, thought of as pull guys that had some power. Now, just about everybody in this lineup, especially the right-handed bats, are spinning on balls and driving them with power. They've got that really cool winding leg kick that a lot of them use. Tetsuro Yamada is a guy to look at. This is a guy that, in the last two seasons over there, has hit 38 homers and has over 100 RBIs in the last two seasons and stolen over 30 bases at the same time. Tsutsugo, Yoshitomo Tsutsugo, is a left-handed cleanup hitter who a lot of the scouts were really, really impressed with. I talked to a couple of scouts from major league teams after watching Japan for a couple of weeks, and they thought Tsutsugo was probably the guy that had the most potential to not just go to the U.S., but have an impact in Major League Baseball. Left-handed bat, 44 homers last year. He's only 25, which is appealing. Yamada's only 24. Nori Aoki is one that Giant fans will remember from 2015. Sho Nakata is another guy, first baseman, a right-handed guy with power, uppercut swing, 25 homers last season. He drives in runs. Kikuchi is the little second baseman who's really fun to watch.
Yes, he is.
Just a wizard of a glove guy. Made a Joe Panic-like play in the Netherlands game that helped save that game going to his right. He's a terrific young player. I'll tell you something interesting about the pitching staff, too. They don't have, like I said, the sexy Tanaka or Maeda name up top. Their bullpen is really, really good and really, really deep. Variety of arm angles. Who was the manager over there? Oh, Jerry Weinstein, the Israel
right.
manager.
Team Israel. Yeah.
He's a legend in Sac City, by the way, as a coach. Anyways, he said about that Japan team, and he's in player development for the Rockies. He said, I would take this Japanese rotation and bullpen and put it on a major league team and go into the season right now, he said. But in terms of not having a sexy name, here's an interesting tidbit. Hiroki Kokubo was the young manager, went to the U.S. last year to talk to all the Japanese Major League players. There's nine of them. There were nine of them last year. And, of course, Ichiro is the guy. And so his last visit was with Ichiro. And it wasn't necessarily to ask Ichiro to play. It was just, hey, you were a part of two teams that won this in 06 and 09. What are some of the things and some of the thoughts you have? And one of the things Ichiro said as far as the pitching staff is, don't take Major League guys. Don't take Tanaka and Maeda, because when you get to the final round, you'd rather have pitchers pitching that none of the hitters have ever faced. And I thought that was really interesting. And here they are in the finals, and they've got pitchers that nobody's ever faced. So, except, you know, if they run into Netherlands, but if they run into the Dominican, if they run into the U.S., or obviously if they run into Puerto Rico, they've got pitchers that none of those hitters have ever seen. And in a one-game winner-take-all format, which is what the finals are, I found that to be really fascinating and possibly an advantage for Japan.
Wow. Boy, great report. I think the finals are going to be just outstanding. I tell you, they're going to be outstanding. And I'm glad you mentioned Team Israel. It was a great story, and Jerry Weinstein did a great job. But I'm glad you're back. This is going to be a lot of fun. When do you head down to Miami?
In a few days. I've been back only for a day. I'm still walking to the store thinking something's going to cost me a couple hundred thousand yen when it's not. But we had a great time. They treated us well, and it's a terrific event, and I'm looking forward to the finals at Dodger Stadium, and obviously a big game tonight for the U.S. If they win, they're in. If they lose, they're going home or actually going back to training camp. So, I found, Marty, with a lot of these players, the Major League type players, this is much more fun than spring training. I mean, Ryan Braun can bitch all he wants about we don't get paid by the hour, this is boring. He could have played for Team Israel. He could have played for Team USA. So,
yeah, it is. It's a lot better than spring training. I thought the game last night was as compelling as anything I've seen in a long, long time. It was terrific.
Yep.
Well, great to have you on, and I'm glad you're home safely, and we'll look forward to catching up with you and talk about the Marlins and what's going on back east. So, Rich, thanks for taking the time. Have a good day, and put your yen away. You don't need it anymore.
Thank you, Marty. I'll say hi to all your friends, and you're still a legend in Miami. You know that.
I appreciate it. Sisters are there. They're probably listening today. So we'll catch up with you soon, and we can't wait to see you out here, but I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Rich Waltz, that's the voice of the Miami Marlins on the TV side. And, what a scouting report on the Japanese. This whetted my appetite. It really did for what's coming here. And Japan is going to end up playing the winner of tonight's game, which is U.S. and the Dominican Republic. They're going to play Japan on Tuesday. And Japan plays the game. They really play it correctly. All right. More coming up. We've got a great surprise. Not really a surprise, but a wonderful Major League scout. Greg Orr is going to join us after the break. His son, Mark, is the athletic director of St. Mary's. And we've had Mark on before. But Greg is now part of the Minnesota Twins organization from the New York Yankees. I can't wait to hear this story. So more coming up right here in KMBR 680, the sports leader.